Hey, An, tell me what WAP stand for.
Wireless area.
What is it again?
Wireless air protection.
No, what's that? Isn't there a WAP type of connection? I forgot what it's called. But yeah, whatever that is, right?
Yeah.
wet ass P word. Yeah, start this episode with this.
Embracing WAP.
Embracing, right? Yeah. A message to all of our listeners.
Yeah.
WAP is a very good song.
We like it.
Yeah, we like it. We
stand behind the message of WAP. We like WAP. We endorse WAP. We suggest that you get some WAP.
Yep.
And that's it, you know?
Yeah. You know, you may not like it. You know, you may not like, I think, okay, it's fair. You may not like the song. But you can't not like WAP. Like, come on.
Yeah.
You know?
Who doesn't like WAP?
Who doesn't like WAP? It's for everybody. Yeah. It's really for everybody. It's a sign of, I was gonna say a sign of prosperity. I'm like, it makes no sense.
It is, sir.
A sign, yeah, yeah, you know? Like, water usually is incorporated with wealth.
Yeah.
You know, if you know feng shui. So, WAP, yeah, it's good feng shui. So,
yeah.
But anyway, so yeah.
That's what we learned from our almost 3 weeks, three weeks of quarantining.
Yep. So yeah. This episode is late.
Yeah,
it's not late. We're not really on schedule. The reason
it's brought to you by COVID-19.
Yes. Yes. So the I know, and okay. So here's the thing. In
oh,
the,
but, what? Let me that? Mention that. Yeah. We didn't get COVID, but it just... Oh.
No, I'll get into that.
Okay,
we'll get into the reason why we had to, you know, stay away from each other for almost 3 weeks. But no, I do want to say one thing before we start. On episode 6, which was the start of season 2.
Yeah.
I did a little intro, okay, before you and I even met. And I did say that we're gonna have like weekly episodes.
Yeah, that's true.
Per agreement between us two, we wanted to do weekly episodes. And I was low key afraid. I'm like, what if, you know, this is the thing when like creators do all the time. They say they're gonna have a schedule and then they never follow it. And I used to hate it.
Yeah.
Well, I used to really like, I hate being let down because someone's like, oh, I'm gonna upload weekly, and then you don't see them for another like 6 months.
That's true.
Yeah. So we really don't want to be like that. So I'm gonna make an amendment to that statement. So weekly episode if possible. Okay, that's all I'm gonna add.
Yeah, and you know, we're sorry.
Yeah,
we couldn't come through, even though we said we were going to, but you know, times are weird, and so. You know, it is what it is. We're trying. Yeah.
So hope you understand. Plus, we're also working on like a few other things, a couple of other videos. I want to say a couple. Mm-hmm. But of course, we were also running into some technical difficulties.
Mm-hmm.
If anybody knows, you know how to like digitize Hi8 videotapes, please let us know. We Tung found this old camcorder, and we've been making some good shit with that. Some good indie films, you know, recording in
90s porno type of deal.
Yeah, but it's all on tape currently. We don't know how to digitize all of that. So drop any suggestions you have, and you have any experience, drop us a hint in the DM, please. So yeah, so the quarantine. Let's start with you, actually.
Okay, sure.
What? I don't know. How did you feel about just in general, like the since March, really, on and off. You know, we've been kind of. I don't think you and I actually gone like we did. I think the whole month of March we didn't meet up. We didn't hang out.
No,
because
I think we made that one big trip, and then we like we got super paranoid coming back to civilization.
Yeah,
and just saw a mess. So like, well, you know what? Let's take a month off, and if things got better, we hang out.
Not
again.
Really, actually.
And then things got 10 times worse.
Yeah,
and then we just like, you know what? Let's just hang out.
Yeah,
but
I think we were pretty irresponsible. We like wasn't there like a streak of weekends where we would just hang out, like about four of us, like five people in our group, right? Would hang out plus the family side, so that'd be like what 10 people gathering almost every week. Yeah, I'm gonna go on record and admit it, you know, whatever. You know, this is also like an experience for us. Again, none of us have gotten COVID-19 or that we know of. So thankfully, obviously, thankfully we didn't. But I think like looking back, what we did was actually really like irresponsible.
Yeah. But like we talked about this before. We sort of unconsciously made the decision to just hang out with each other. Because obviously, you and I have to run the lab as well, right?
Yeah.
We have responsibility to certain things. You know, we have relationships to uphold. And so, sort of in a way, we did the best that we could. We kind of narrowed down our people that we choose to hang out with. And in that way, you know, I trust you. I trust your family. So that's why I come over, hang out. And I mean, in this situation, that's really the best we could do.
Yeah. Obviously, like everybody has
their own judgment, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Their own judgment. I mean, obviously, like looking from any perspective, what we did is still technically irresponsible. But like you said, we had a pretty good, like, we're also really close, you know, communication and all that. It's like, you know, I know your family, you know my family, and then we sort of understand like the lifestyle too, like each other's lifestyles. And then along with that, we have sort of this I know you're already you're not the type to just go hang out with like friends.
Yeah,
and same with me. Like I don't do boba runs. You know, with like, yeah. Just to start, COVID-19 or not, we're already loners, so that helps. And then of course, like it's like, oh, if anything happens, it's just between us. At least we're not bringing in anything from the outside. And then at the same time, like if we fear that we might be bringing something from the outside in, then we're not going to see each other. So essentially that's what happened 2 weeks ago.
Yeah. There was just some minor discrepancy.
Yeah.
And then we just like, let's just stop hanging out for three weeks, make sure everybody's okay. So we took precautious measure, basically, you know, not hang out, not to make anything worse, you know.
Honestly, better than not acknowledging what we did. You know, I mean, I think it's all like during this time, if you live in the States, as bad as it sounds, it's not being controlled, you know, COVID, like the situation is not really well controlled. So you don't really know what that person you're in contact with, how they're feeling,
you
know, if they have the virus or not. So, and the thing is, like, I've been saying this from the very start, like, COVID-19 is sort of, there's no indication. Like, it's so invisible.
Yeah.
Like, the whole thing with, like, people, like, that are asymptomatic too. Like that adds a whole nother, you know, dimension of paranoia, I feel like, to this whole thing. The fact that the symptoms are kind of just common, you know, like not very clear defined, and the fact that they're that, again, that factor of people with you know, with no symptoms, it all makes the situation really hard to judge whenever you come in contact with someone.
Yeah.
So what's the best thing to do? Well, you don't come in contact with anybody.
It's the only thing you can do to make yourself safe. And of course, you know, everybody, you need grocery, you need this and that to live. And
yeah,
you got to take, you know, be extra safe about it.
So
to answer your question, like in the past 2 weeks, I've been living, you know, well, I guess since April, but in paranoia, man. It feels, even though, like, you know, sometimes we hang out and stuff like that, and I do see, you know, my partners, I like families, it's still, and I'm also around my family, of course, but it feels really, how'd you say, like claustrophobic at the same time.
Yes.
It feels like I'm being squeezed constantly, right? By this, the paranoia, like this fear of like not only getting myself sick but getting other people sick, and I just feel like at the same time, like, I feel trapped, and like I'm getting squeezed into this box almost. It's terrible. Like I feel like my hair is thinning, my health, like my mental health is like it's just slowly drifting away.
despite like being surrounded by people that you care about and that you love, right? It's like dead ends everywhere. You run everywhere. Yeah. You're trying to leave your situation and there's like a dead end.
Yeah.
And the thing is, it's not really like a complete dead end either. Like people are able to get over that. And by that, I mean people are able to just leave the house and go hang out.
Yeah.
But for me, I create that barrier, right? Because we have to put that barrier there.
Yeah.
Like for me, it stops with seeing like, you know, stops with like basically seeing like some close relatives, you.
Yeah.
Partner and my partner's family every now and then. And then that's because I kind of understand, like, it's a very close circle and I know what everybody is doing, sort of. But there's still that, like, factor of this unknown factor that what if, not to say that I don't trust them, but
yeah,
it's, can the person even be accurate with their report, right? Or with their awareness. If you live in the States, 99% of the time, almost 100% of the time, you never have to wear a mask. Suddenly now you have to wear a mask.
Yeah.
So it hasn't been, I don't feel like it's become like a habit yet.
Right. You know? It hasn't.
Right. Like I can't even count the times that I would leave my car and I'm like, oh shit, my mask. I have to run back. Yeah. And sometimes,
like in like the hot ass, you know, parking lot. Yeah. It's like 110 outside.
Yeah.
Like, oh my God.
Yeah. You're like halfway into like Kroger, which is a supermarket. It's a grocery store. You're halfway there. Sometimes you're already at the entrance and then you're like, oh shit, my mask. And you have to run back. But see, that's not the, like running back isn't the problem. Is who do you meet when you run back? You know, the people that are coming towards you.
Yeah.
So that's the factor. That's what I mean. Like that kind of stuff could also happen to the people that I'm currently trusting right now.
Yeah.
You know, for example, like you, like something as innocent as a friend stopping by to drop off like some food,
right?
You know, could actually bring the disease into your home.
Yeah.
If you're, say, you're not super careful.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the thing. Like, that's why I feel, like being trapped in this weird, like being, like, I'm very strict about this, by the way, but because of that strictness, I also feel drain, you know.
Yeah.
I feel like, oh god, I
you're not supposed to be living in this constant state of emergency, right?
Yeah.
You it's, like when I go, like I keep bringing this up, but like every time I go into Sam, like I'm in the parking lot, I'm imagining like my route, okay? So I'm like, okay, I'm gonna grab a cart, avoid the person who checks the ID, you know.
Yeah.
And then I'm just gonna make a left, pick up some fruits, do a circle around here to check if the stuff, and then straight to the, you know, the cash register.
Yeah.
I have the whole thing planned, and then like if you see anybody, you know, dodge. Yeah. And
it's like you have a whole map laid yeah. out in your car.
Anytime, dude. Every time, like even like the simple act of just getting gas, you know.
Yeah.
Like getting gas for me is, I have a pack of napkin.
Yep.
Or if I don't have it, I'm just you know like hand sanitizer mm-hmm. because I can't. I don't trust who the person yep. before me.
Yep.
And then it's this whole process. I know like being clean, like people like, oh, you know, everybody should be clean. But like, when was the last time anybody, you know, like, you know, put hand sanitizer on after they fill up gas, right?
You don't. Yeah. Right? Normally you don't.
Yeah. Normally you don't do that type of act. But like now any sort of physical contact in the outside world, you have to clean yourself constantly be on this state of emergency. And it's like you said, man, it's fucking draining. Mm-hmm. I can handle it. But, you know, at the same time, I'm tired.
Yeah.
Me I'm too. Tired. I just yeah. kind of wish people would just be more responsible.
Yeah. I mentioned how like countries like Japan and Taiwan kind of have it under control. The reason and the reason for that is because people are used to wearing masks. Mm. Like they have a pretty good awareness on, you know, if I feel like I have a bug, I'm just going to wear a mask so that people around me won't get it. Even before COVID. You know, yeah. it's kind of woven into the culture mm-hmm. of like, you know, being aware and like having a pretty good sense of collectivism, right? Yeah. Like, you know, you're living with a community. And I mean, and to think about it, I feel like I'm no expert on this, but it's just my speculation. Japan and Taiwan have a really sort of dense population, mm-hmm. I feel like, especially in the cities. And so people take like public transportation, subways, you know, you're always going to be super close to it, especially in Japan. You know, you've seen those videos of like conductors like pushing people, stuffing people onto the, you know, right. the train rush hour. Like, how do you social distance, right?
Yeah.
So that's like, it's interesting to think about like people like in America. Have you noticed like people, we're still so like afraid, when it comes to enforcing masks.
Oh, of course.
Man. Like the number one thing for Americans right now, like the number one method is still social distancing.
Yeah.
Because we have so much fucking land, so much space mm-hmm. that people put confidence in that space.
Yeah.
But not in the masks.
No.
But the thing is, the masks work better. Yeah. Right? People like, it's been somewhat proven that COVID-19 can actually just be airborne for like a little bit.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter like 6 foot distance or not, like mm-hmm. you're still in the flow. And especially if there's like, you're in like a building, for example, there's like air conditioning, it can yeah. still.
Yeah. It just circulates, right? If you have yeah. central air, and that just going in mm-hmm. straight out.
Yeah. So masks really do work. And just the thought of like, oh, we could all actually be somewhat functioning, still going out, still see friends.
Yeah.
Just wear a mask. Just everybody. I mean, I won't be able to see your chapped lips, but I think I can miss on that. You know, it's okay.
It's true. But I don't know. Like, people tend to avoid each other so much nowadays. I mean, like, before this. Like, now they just, I don't know what it is. Like, this is the perfect chance for you just be...
Yeah.
It's just for your ass is just stay home. Oh, you always talk God. About it. Yeah. Like, oh, I hate people. All this cynicism that America has, but I now that this give you a chance to enact on all this thing, like you're like, no, I don't want to wear a mask.
Dude, like last year, one of the more humorous things on social media was talking about how you love canceling plans. Yeah. You know, like that was a meme, right?
Right.
Like fucking people would post memes about, oh, you know, I already said yes to this plan and now I have to go. Like, I'm an introvert, blah, 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 blah. Yeah. And now you get to live that life. And, you know, unfortunately, people don't always live up to the memes that they make.
Yeah. Disappointed.
I know. See, when I make memes or when I post memes, that's actually me. Like, that's...
It's truth.
That's truth. That's not even a meme. It's just a recording of my day. It's just a, yeah, small just part of it. Just
laughing at your own disposition.
Yes. All right, so we have some questions sent to us just very recently because I literally did a Q&A before we started the recording. So we'll answer those questions after this ad break. So we'll be right back. And we're back from the break. Very similar to the last episode we did, actually. Format, I just realized. Mm. We talked about some shit, and there was a break, and now there's questions. Could be a running theme.
Yeah.
Maybe. We just do like a Q&A at the later half of the podcast. Yeah, might as well. Just.
Yeah. Whatever you want to ask us. Yeah. Very, very unqualified answers.
Yeah.
From the both of us.
Yeah.
But we will do it for you.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
Anything you want to know, really, photography related, work related, culture related, you know, like Dallas, ask us about Texas. Yeah. We're not even Texan, like native Texans, so we'll answer anyway. So yeah,
in quotes of Bobby Lee, you know, I'm slept. I'm slept as fucked. I'm not woke.
Yeah.
I'm willing to learn.
Yeah.
You guys can teach me, but yeah.
In some weird way, like, us getting asked questions is also us, like, learning about ourselves.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times, like, there's, like, a question and, like, I hear your answer and I'm like, oh, I didn't know, you know, like, I didn't know that, right? And, like, it's surprising. Like, yeah, and then also things about myself as well that I wasn't aware of.
Yeah.
And then in the process of, like, trying to figure out how to answer it, I'm like, oh, hey, now I understand why I... You know,
yeah, I avoid that noise in my head,
right? Yeah, I find it like, I guess for me, like, I'm self-taught photographer, right? Mm. So I really learn a whole lot from my friends. So I think this is a nice way for you guys if you want to learn more
your friends, but yeah, like, I know like self-taught information is kind of hard to get sometimes, so I don't know if you can see that in us and if you want to ask anything, yeah, you're welcome. Mm-hmm.
Or you have an idea, you know, or feedback too. Mm. Just send it all to us. We'll take it. All right. So yeah, last minute Q&A. I posted this on my personal Instagram, and then also on Beautiful Noise.
Mm.
And because it was so last minute, we only have a few, but that's okay. they're all quality ones though. Right, so I'll just I have a list right here. So I'll just start with the no particular order, by the way. So first question is from Lucas. Hello, Lucas. And his question is, how do I get girlfriend?
You got money? I don't know. That's a weird question, man.
How do you
gotta be a nice guy.
Yeah,
you gotta simp a little bit.
Yeah,
I know.
That's not a bad thing, though. That's
I say like simping is a tragedy.
Yeah,
but yeah, simp a little bit.
I see simping as a form of, you know, respect.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. It's just that word simping. It makes me
again. It's. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how, like, okay, so the thing is, about PC, just want to interject a little bit. I mean, if you don't feel comfortable with the stuff we're talking about, feel free to reach out, let us know. We're curious because we have our own personality and we feel that Beautiful Noise is kind of like a place for really everybody, as long as you're not being a dick, right? So, about like being PC and all, we're not the most PC people, even though we're pretty respectful. We're not woke, we're pretty slept, but I think we are able to like understand that,
you know, view, and we respect you.
Yeah, like, so if there's anything that you don't like, just let us know, and we'll probably address it or something like that. Or yeah, we'll have like a heated internet discussion over it, perhaps. Anyway, yeah. So how do you get a girlfriend? You got money, you got simp a little bit, and that's basically it. Right?
That's all
charm. Charm necessary? No. Nah, maybe.
Nah, you don't need charm these days.
I don't have charm.
I don't know. Just be nice.
Yeah.
Just be kind. And I think that's all it is. And then if you act the way you do, you're gonna tend to gravitate. You know, you have the same people.
Yeah.
Gravitates to you. So, choose from that pool, man.
Yeah. And then sometimes they find you. You know, yeah. Not the other way around.
Yeah.
So that's basically the answer, just, Lucas. I mean, you know,
honestly, like you rather just date whoever you know gravitates to you or who you gravitates to. Right, because you don't want to date just whoever. So just be yourself.
Right.
Be yourself and act on that. The world of who you are and the world respond.
So a thing I realized recently is that I don't want to get too much give out too many details about like my just private life in general, but. I sort of went through a phase where I didn't think like being myself was like necessary and like dating. I just thought, well, if they like me, they like me, right? I mean, whatever version it is, I'm not really sure, you know? So, and then I kind of get lost in there and I'm like, oh crap. I don't really know if this is really me. And I would get into like conflict with like myself and I would have like battles in my head. Like, why did I get upset over the thing that she said? Like, you know, like I would be was that the impression I gave off, you know, in the beginning? And so that's why she assumed so-and-so.
Yeah.
You know, so, and then I actually realized like, if they like you for like the, and then they also have to kind of like the thing you do.
Yeah.
I find that, I feel like that's also, that's just for me.
It's
kind of important.
I was gonna say, never mind.
No, next question. Oh, say it.
Remember we had that funny discussion about like just date somebody with a hobby?
Okay. Yeah. Yes. No, it's not even controversial. What do you mean? You're about to skip it? No. But kind of controversial because some of y'all out there don't have hobbies yet.
Yeah.
And that's fine.
Yeah,
same with guys too. Yeah. You know,
don't feel bad about it. Yeah. But you know, it's nice to have things you do separately,
or maybe together.
I don't know.
Together, yeah.
But you know, or if one person does something and they like to be alone, just leave them.
Just leave. Man, yeah.
sounds like
a personal problem you had. No, I think it's important. Like, it's important to have. Your own space and like the things that you like doing by yourself. I think having a hobby sort of maintains your personality, kind of keeps everything grounded. And similarly with the person that you're dating, if they have a hobby, you have
something to share with.
Something to share, excited
to talk about. Yeah. That's just something I learned from previous relationships.
Yeah.
You know, it's just more fun that way. You know, you have something in common, or if they have the same hobby, they can share like a different perspective and vice versa.
And if they have a different hobby, then your conversations are more diverse. Like you get to talk to them about your hobby and then you get to listen when they talk about their hobby. So not a requirement though. I mean, it's kind of straying away from the question, from the answer a little bit. It's a more of a how, not what type, but
just
to be nice.
Basically, just personal preference.
Basically, just be genuine, be yourself. Don't force yourself too hard to get them to like you back. I know that tends to be, I guess, I don't know. I used to do that. Like, I used to kind of,
I don't know, just do you, man.
Just do you.
Don't worry about it.
Yeah. Also, you gotta vibe check them.
Yeah. 100%.
Yeah.
Vibe check.
All right. Moving on. Next question.
Yes. Oh, dope.
Okay. This next one is also from Lucas. As you can see, Lucas, you know,
best buddy.
Yeah. Best bud. He asked, milk or dark chocolate?
I don't know. Like 2 years ago, I loved milk chocolate, but I love dark chocolate now. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe like my taste bud is going away and I just need something really heavy.
Yo, that's a sign of COVID-19, by the way. You're losing.
I'm losing my taste bud. Hey,
you're sitting right across from me. You shouldn't be saying that. Milk or... Okay, so I don't know. Like, I love milk chocolate, though. Like, that's...
I do. But it's just more like... As times go on, like, I don't really like sweet things too much anymore.
Yeah. Okay, so... well, that gotta be at one point how I ended up like this, right? So I used to eat a lot of sweets, especially like American sweets, like Snicker bars, that kind of like Milky Way, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And so I never really like, I know some people kind of like, I don't know how you can grow up with like chocolate. I grew up with like different types of sweets. So I had really no preferences in like chocolate. I was just like, well, I like Tootsie Rolls, you know? I don't know what the fuck that is. It's not really chocolate. I also like Twix.
Just mud with sugar,
yeah,
dude.
Yeah, Tootsie. It's like petrified wood. harvested in like, you know, North Carolina.
Yeah.
So I like Twix. You know, the M&M's. So what do you call that? Is that milk? I mean, so, but like now as an adult, obviously with like more refined taste, more, trying to infiltrate the bourgeoisie. living that Dang Da Khom Duong life, which translates into just like, you know, black coffee, no sugar. I'm you know, acquiring the taste for bitterness, for the bitterness that I felt in life. Just kidding. I've rarely felt any bitterness, but you know, dark chocolate for me right now. 75%.
That's go a good specific. Ratio.
75% with
a little bit of salt.
A little bit of salt. I especially like with like, you know, orange peel.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, that's my comfort food for me. If I'm sad, it's dark chocolate and orange peel, specifically by Lindt, because you can get that here, because, you know, it's kind of everywhere. Easy. Yeah. So, big ass hint, if, you know, my birthday next year coming up, you guys just sent me a bunch of dark chocolate. Yeah, I'll appreciate it.
Yeah.
All right, so next question is from Hui. And this he asked me on my personal Instagram, so maybe it's like a question for me, but might as well ask you as well because you were also in Saigon. So he asks, if you have only one place, I'm assuming like you have to choose, right? Choose one place to shoot in Saigon, where would that be and why?
In the neighborhoods, man.
like
because I stay with with my cousin when I was there, right? And also that's just Saigon, right? Little hand. Yeah. And that's like things like that. And it's kind of fun, which is like sort of infiltrating those neighborhoods and just taking snapshots of the family that lives there and sort of like have like a peek inside a house. Cause like, again, Saigon is not really my my town. I don't know too much about it other than like, you know, some from you, some from my dad. But it's kind of like being in like the hem kind of like give me like a perspective almost. Like I'm looking into people's house like a creep.
Oh, yeah.
So I don't know. People in hem, they just like, they're not outside, they're comfortable and they tend to be quite friendly. So just like those few times where I get the luxury of just strolling around my cousin's neighborhood, it was nice.
Yeah. Definitely like for a lot of people who either haven't spent a whole lot of time in Saigon or not familiar with it at all, it's a city with a lot of like very tight-knit communities, like neighborhoods. I mean, not communities, but neighborhoods connected by these alleyways.
Yeah.
So they're called him. Very complex, you know, like you could end up like, you could go on one big main street and enter like an alleyway and like end up in like a different district sometimes because it's like a whole block of houses. not really. I don't know what you call it. It's like not really a block because it's like separate houses built so close to each other that you create these pathways that eventually become alleyways, right? Because it's a very densely populated city. So what do you do when you have like a patch of land where you're trying to shove, you know, as much stuff, as much buildings as you can, you know, into it, shove as much, you know, like people into a place. And so naturally sort of carved out these intricate networks of alleys. Very nice to kind of stroll through because you get a lot of characters because people in alleyways, well, could be hit or miss.
Right?
Because sometimes you end up with like really interesting scenes and like, you know, scenarios and setups. Sometimes you get chased out of an alleyway, get beat up.
Really? Real danger.
I think like wasn't like Yung, right? He went on one of his excursions to take pictures of stuff. He got chased down the block.
Did
and
he?
Then they like ripped out his bag or something. Oh, yeah, shit. He said so on our group chat.
Oh shit.
So that could be one of the thing is because him in the alleyways in those neighborhoods. Mm. And we sort of referred to this last time on our episode eight the gangster episode. Because as it is, right, these communities, you have a lot of types of people, you have a lot of family situations, you don't know who, you know, and then suddenly you have these outsiders coming in taking pictures, right, of that community. Naturally a lot of people would get a little bit apprehensive, like, who are these guys, what are they doing, why are they taking pictures, like, and then obviously, those bad experiences are the times where you run into someone who may have some debt and they think they're being intimidated, you know, or something like that. They see you as a threat, so they want to chase you out. So, yeah, do be careful. But it's interesting.
Yeah,
I wouldn't say that's my one place, though.
That's just my experience. Yeah. Like, just because I had a nice experience doesn't mean
you... Exactly. No, but it's a fair fair answer. Yeah.
Oh, I also like that... what's it called? That market you took me to in District 5.
Oh, yes.
That was a fun place to take a picture. Yeah. What is that? Dong An.
Yeah. So, An Dong in District 5. District 5 is Chinatown, more or less, considered Chinatown of Saigon. That was going to be my answer to this question. Mm. And then as I'm kind of listening to your answer, I was thinking about it. I was like, well, but then District 5 is like really big. So, you know, like, I don't know how to like, like, what's the spot for me in District 5.
Right.
But choosing one place, I would probably go for one of the markets for sure. Mm. There's a bigger one. So that's Jiangdong. And then there's what's that? Whatever bigger one is there. I'm sorry, just like slip. Tip of my tongue right now.
Not Jabantan.
In District 5, there's like.
I forgot. I'm not well versed in this.
Dang! There's tip of my tongue.
Yeah.
But one of the markets.
Yeah.
Because the I don't know, but like, one Chinatown District 5 for me. Like, I have a sort of a personal like tie to it, because that's where my dad grew up, and my dad's side, my dad's parents also grew up in District 5, or as long as I know, and so when I was younger, when I was still there in Vietnam, I would obviously visit my grandparents a lot in District 5, and also the food was for me like was a big thing because my dad grew up eating the food in District 5, so naturally later on when he got older, when he had me, whenever we went out to eat, it would actually half the time would be going into District 5 to eat. I think life in District 5 is just kind of different, you know. It's still obviously like it's Chinatown, but it's also kind of like it's still Vietnamese, it's still very southern, but there's like a a little bit of like, you can, it depends on where you go, but there's like a sort of a Hong Kong-y type of feeling, right. Especially when you go into like those like those like fancier like restaurants.
Mm-hmm.
But then like out in the street, you get, it's just like sometimes more colorful to me somehow.
Yeah. It's just like Andong, yeah. Right? You have that market in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
And surrounding that, you have the family mm-hmm. apartments,
yeah.
homes,
yeah.
And they work there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they interact there. And they, you know, you can see that their whole life pretty much just circulate within that one. What is that? Like what? 200, like 100 meter
yeah.
square.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And it just everybody's there.
Yeah.
And everybody sort of interact with each other. The kids play out soccer. When the market closed, mm-hmm. you know, people walk from the market back to their house,
yep.
and they cook outside. And I don't know, it gives you like a really different kind of feeling, you know.
Yeah,
it's,
yeah,
yeah.
Yeah, Kimbing. There we go. That's the yeah,
yeah.
Anyway, so it's definitely for me like a place of like. You can, I feel like all the times I've been there, I've never really been like disappointed photographically. Mm. Not that there's always so much going on. It depends on when you go, what time of the year as well. You go there, obviously, like I was there during Lunar New Year. And, you know, that was like really wild, District 5, because Chinese people do really celebrate. Like they take that, the whole celebration yeah. really seriously. And... you know, a lot more activity, a lot more lights. You see a lot more the feeling of Tet, a lot more there. And Tet is the Vietnamese word for Lunar New Year. You get to really see more there yeah. than any other places in the city. And but then even if you don't go, like even if you're there like during, like right now over like during the summer, you could be walking around in one of the neighborhoods or the marketplaces and the scenes change. Sort of.
Yeah.
Like you said, you have a lot of people interacting with like there's their businesses or sometimes their home.
Yeah.
And so for them to like hang out in that little square,
yeah.
You know, it's very like prevalent because you have people don't travel far, people don't commute. You know, not like mm-hmm. over here where you have people commute to go to work or go hang out. In District 5, everything's just sort of like all in one spot. Because you got the noodle shop right next to it. And,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, so that's why you have, like, just a bunch of people just, like, outside doing stuff. So it's really fun. But let me ask you this week. Hope you're listening. But, yeah, question right back to you. Where's that one place for you to shoot at?
Mm.
Let us know. Shoot us a DM.
Yeah. Actually, all of you. Where do you
like
to shoot? Yeah,
all of you, actually. It doesn't have to be Saigon. Actually, like, yeah. tell us more about where you live. Hanoi, Da Nang. Actually, yeah.
I'll tell you one place where yeah. I don't take good pictures.
Yeah, there we go.
I can't take a goddamn good picture in the north, dude. Like,
really?
I've taken so many roles in the north, but it just, anytime, I think I just enjoy the city a little
yeah.
too much.
Yeah.
Like, I walk around like an idiot and I listen.
Yeah.
And I look around and then anytime I shoot, I always miss. Like, it just never stick with me.
Uh-huh. I enjoy shooting in the north. Well, by north, I mean specifically Hanoi.
Yeah, like you know, yeah. like Ho Kim or yeah. whatever.
Ho Hoang Kim. No, I one of my favorite places there, definitely. Just yeah. because, okay, it's like very cliche.
Being there.
Yeah.
I just like being there. I don't yeah. know if my picture sucks, dude.
Yeah.
When every time I'm here.
I think my pictures are okay in Hanoi. Mainly because I also like in Hanoi, I'm a tourist.
Yeah.
And
maybe that's why.
Like, yeah. I don't know. You enjoy the place. I kind of enjoy the place. I think Hanoi's all right as a city. Food's okay. It's not that good. But I'm sorry.
You're getting banned from the
yeah,
country.
I'm getting banned. Sorry. About to lose like half of followers because I think half of them are from there.
I love the place. I have like this weird romanticism with Hanoi, and I just being there, it's just nice for me.
It's the accent. Just admit it, bro. Just admit it, bro.
Yeah, girls, northern girls just have a special place in my heart.
Well, you heard that, guys. Anyway, not for me though. I'm all right.
I'm all right. I'll pass. Okay.
I'll pass. Yeah, I'll stick to you know, just anything below Hue for me. Hue is the line. So for me, like being in other places in Vietnam, like, you know, okay, so my hometown is Saigon, but I think I've been kind of distant to it. So even when I go back now, I'm a tourist still, kind of to the people there, even though I don't even try to act like one. But when I travel to another place, that's like tourist times two, because I'm a tourist from kind of from another country and from another city. Town. Yeah, from another town. So that sort of amplifies my again, like, sensory overload, because when I'm in Hanoi, I shoot like crazy, but yeah, not very good, but you know, it's like I kind of don't care, you know, because I know they can't touch me because I'm not from here, and you know, whatever, like I'm a tourist, so I'm just shooting away. But I do want to hear about other places, like Hoi An, for example, but then Hoi An's pretty small, so I guess choose one place to shoot in Hoi An. I don't know, like around that well, I guess, or no, like by the what do you call it, like the river?
Yeah, shoot by the river.
Yeah, shoot by the river is cool because a lot of people walking back and forth.
Hoi An is just a fun city and it's easy to shoot.
Yeah, it's very easy because it's compact.
I feel like. But then again, like, I think that's might be one of the reasons why I don't take good picture in Hanoi. It's just really compact. For some reason, why I feel like it's really tight there for me. Like, even, I don't know why I should feel that in Saigon, but I don't. Yeah. Like, when I feel in Saigon, I feel free almost.
Yeah.
But like, when I'm in Hanoi, like, I feel a lot smaller. And like, I feel tight. And I feel like that tightness is... I don't know what it is, but like, I guess like the way I shoot, I kind of have to like, I kind of stumble a little bit when I'm there. Like I'm always tripping. I just couldn't do it because couldn't get one picture that I actually really enjoyed from
tripping, but never slipping though.
Yeah, never slipping.
But never slipping. That's interesting. Yeah, so I do want to hear your guys' thoughts, where you live. Tell us a little bit about your city, where you want to shoot. Just want to find out about you guys, you know. I think location has a big part in like photography and who you are and how you develop. I think there's definitely, you can definitely feel, I think you can almost point out like there is a Saigon style of like street shooting versus like Hoi An, Da Nang style or Hoi An or Hanoi style, right?
Yeah.
There's a something, I don't know. I don't know how. I don't know what they are.
Yeah.
Those things are, those elements, but I can kind of feel it. And or maybe I'm just surrounded by like people I know, and then that's defining what I think is the definition of Saigon. And I feel like people in the north, when they shoot, it's something else. It's kind of different. It's more, I feel like everything is like a bit more ordered, more structured, I feel like.
I have no idea. I don't know anybody.
But we'll... Yeah, it's just my own speculation into this. Anyway, moving on. This... Well, kind of our last question. There's another one that I just received just now. So this one is from Hoi. Hoi is a photographer, lives in Da Nang.
Nice.
So, yeah, it's your people.
Hometown.
Yeah. And recently he... produced a zine called Qua Routine. Not really sure how to, because it's quarantine. It's sort of a play on word on quarantine and routine. So it's Qua Routine. I believe, at least at the moment of this recording, it hasn't been printed yet, but it is out there on the web. I think Gan Mui Bom featured it at one point.
Nice.
Yeah, so it's a zine. It's a series that he did on his quarantine, his 14-day quarantine when he came back from Australia. I think it's very good. Definitely worth a look. Koi sort of managed to capture this sort of really the feeling of being in one of those camps, which personally I was really curious. about. Yeah. Like, I wanted to know how it felt to be there. It's a, you know, wonderful little series. And it's available. I believe you just go to his Instagram. It's probably there somewhere. Or just ask him. Or whenever we find out the link, it's going to be in the description of this episode. But anyway, so his question is, and also kind of similar to another question that we got from, okay, his account is really hard to pronounce, but I'm going to try to pronounce it. Just so I get the mention
correctly.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't want to leave him out. So it's Koyanis Katsi. Well, if you're listening, you know who you are. But yeah, he and Koi sort of asked the same question. He asked, do you guys have photozine? And then Koi asked, your thoughts on making, printing, and selling zines. How should one price their zine? So I'm going to group both of them into one question.
Yeah.
So do we have photozines? We do.
Yeah, we do.
We do, yeah. I have a couple. I have a few. They're still on sale, by the way. Just plugging that on my website.
Wait, did you put the new stuff up?
No, I haven't put any new stuff up.
Okay, but the other stuff's still on.
Yeah, the other stuff's still on. I don't know what I'm going to do with the new stuff. There's something I'm looking into, which is to sell them in Vietnam. Consignment sale.
Yeah, yeah.
With like bookshops and little bookstores and like little indie bookstores in Vietnam. Haven't really figured that out yet, but I'm on my way. If anything, I'll just release them and just ship them everywhere.
Whatever, you just put it out in the world, man. You know, yeah. Maybe somebody will.
Yeah. Keep saying that. Yeah, maybe somebody will just, maybe I'll be discovered. But anyway, so yeah, we do have zines. Tung has zines as well, even though they're just somewhere in his trunk of his car, laying around. Guy makes like 3 copies every time and they're all like a little bit different. But he, yeah, so I believe Ling is kind of doing, not really a zine, but she does make, she is in some sort of publication, or at least it's in the works.
Yeah.
And Jung,
he's planning to, right?
Hopefully.
I think I remember he kind of wanted to do something.
He did talk to me. When we first met, the year that we first met, we had this idea of making like a zine, compiling our photos of Saigon together. It's still there. I mean, we just haven't really worked on it in a while. So hopefully we'll get back into it. But yeah, so that's a long answer. Short answer, yes, we do have zines. Our thoughts on printing, making, printing, and selling. I don't know. Making, yeah, do make zines. Make with whatever you have. Just the making process, I think, is like the most free process, because that's when you get to like try out different things.
Yeah, it's just on your computer.
Yeah,
at one point, and then you get to play with materials. If you have the luxuries of different materials, and then putting it together up to you, or you have somebody else put it for you. It's all fun. Zines are supposed to be fun. So, and there's no fucking guideline, dude. You know? So just make, zines are meant to be fun.
Yeah.
Expressive, you know?
Let's not forget that zines are actually very sort of crudely put together. They're supposed to be, right?
Yeah.
And they can be very high quality, very well made, you know.
I mean, I put together mine with industrial staplers, so.
Yeah, but that's, in a way, like, that's the true spirit, right, of zine right? And even, like, there's people who made zine with, like, just a pencil and paper. Like, like, handwrite everything, hand-drawn.
There was this this girl from New York, and she photographed, the bicycle scene there at one point, and, like, what they do is, like, they bicycle jousting.
Oh, what the heck?
Yeah.
Okay.
And so she made the cover with recycled tires.
Oh, yeah. Wow, that's cool.
Dude, and it smells terrible, but I mean, and it's, every time you touch it, it's sticky.
Yeah.
But it's so dope, you know? Yeah. Like, that's what I think zine should be about. It's your wildest idea put together. Mm-hmm. And just do it together. Don't think too much about it, or you can't think
Yeah, or you can. Yeah,
it really doesn't matter. Yeah. But it's zine's supposed to be fun. You know, don't stress yourself out of it.
I think these days we're kind of inundated with like high quality zines. You know.
Yeah, or like high quality services.
Yeah.
But don't stress yourself over it. You know, the option is there, but if you feel like, is it worth the money? Because like it does get into that effect as well. Like, oh, are you considering like, the cost? And then of course it does, you know? And like, what service is best for me? But remember, zine used to be just slapping shit together. And if you want, just print out some stuff on notebook paper and put it together. That's cool too, you know?
Cut and paste, cut and fold.
Yeah.
Stack of paper, stapled, sewn together. Like,
yeah. It's supposed to be expressive.
Supposed to be expressive. It's supposed to be very sort of like, full of characteristics, right? Like, not to say that, like, if you go through a print, okay, so I for my recent zines and even the ones that I've sold and selling, I went through a service. I got them sort of like perfect bound, everything, like printing on like nice-ish paper, like cardstock, cover, and all that stuff. And that's, you know, that's fine if you want to, if that's your way of expressing. And I tend to like that well, like sort of cleaned up look, you know, well polished. Like, that's just me.
Yeah.
But do I have like zines where I just like slap together? Like, I do, like all over my room right now. And so the idea is whatever you have nearby, whatever resources you have, if you have office paper and like a Xerox printer or laser printer, just print on that. The thing is, like, the important, like, that's why I said making a zine is like the most fun part. We'll get to the other parts of the question, but like, making the zine is where you get to slap together all the ideas you have for and to accompany whatever that's in the zine, by the way. You know, if it's pictures, and like you said, like the example you brought up, if it's pictures of like bicycles and, you know, put some like tires on the cover, or if like you want your photographs to appear a certain way, then you can print on like newsprint paper, which is that paper they use for newspaper. Very thin, kind of carbony, you know, paper. I guess, you know, experiment and try out different things. Make a bunch of dummies.
Yeah.
Just have fun in the process of making it. So that's the first part. So printing, kind of part of making it.
Yeah.
But I'm guessing that Koi wants us to be a little bit more specific on like, like, printing, like what do you look for, what kind of ink, what kind of paper?
Oh, that's just depend on the place, bro. Because a lot of my test zines or just zines that I want to make just on Xerox, and I go to like, at first I went to like FedEx and they would make it for me, and then afterward FedEx sold that machine and so I'm forced to go to Home Depot. I mean, Office Depot, right?
Yeah.
And just wherever it's available. And then we found out about, was Blurb. And then, what's that service you use?
MacCloud. Yeah.
And whatever they offer, right? We got to try some paper at, you know, Office Depot, Office Max.
Yeah.
And we got to see what it's like. But really, when it comes to, like, material-wise, just see what the people around you have to offer.
Yeah.
I can't really recommend you like a certain type of paper or a certain type of ink, because I don't know what kind of printer, you know, you have or your service have.
Yeah.
Because that's also another thing. Mm-hmm. So if you're really interested, just go out your way, talk to, befriend, you know, it's fun. Like, if somebody is going to print your work, then befriend with them and then be curious, and then just, and because it is another process of photography, so learn it.
Definitely befriending your printer. Like, biggest tip.
You did that too.
I did that. Yeah. I bothered him so much that he like had to, he like asked for my name. It's like, bro, next time come, just give me a call. Just give me a call and I'll tell you if it's my shift, you know?
Yeah.
Because, printing zine, it's difficult, you know? Like, you could have next door, you could have a printer place. I know in Vietnam, like, printer and photocopiers are, like, littered around neighborhoods, right? There's so many of them. But there might be one that, like, knows what you're doing and then the other doesn't. Yeah. So explore, bring your file. Yeah. It's important also, I just want to note this, it's important that your file is, like, perfect.
Yeah.
You know, format, layout, you know, look at, like, the trim marks and creep, all that technical stuff, okay? But not going to get into right now, but make sure you have everything good and ready for the printer. Take it to the printer, show them, and then would be nice if you bring, like, a dummy that you made, or, like, some sort of example that, like, hey, I want my thing to look like this.
Right. The easier you make it for them, you know, the better they will understand you and, you know, fulfill whatever you need.
Yeah. So, and then work with them, talk to them, see what they have, go through the paper inventory, you know, and, like, printing is one of the most, like, abstract, like, process of zine making, because because there's no, like, one way to do it. It depends on what your zine is about, it depends on, like, your material, how you want it. If you shoot color, maybe you want your color to not be faded. I mean, it's a lot.
So, and you know, if they don't, you know, if they don't have paper that you like, buy your own
print, bring it to them. And
I do that all the time. Like, I print some transparency to, you know, make darkroom, and I brought those as well, you know.
Yeah.
If you can bring it and you can elaborate and show them what you need to get done, they get it pretty well.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
If you don't understand something, you ask an expert or something else, right? Mm-hmm. So, but you kind of have to meet them halfway.
Yeah.
So if you don't understand printing, befriend with your local printer. So,
All right. So the next point is selling, and I'm going to group the last one into selling and then how to price your zines. Between the two of us, I may have the more experience, so I'll take this one first. Do want to hear your opinion on, like, I guess, pricing in general. So, and yeah, if you have the intention to sell, you should sell your zines. Really as simple as that, because it's traditionally, I think zines were always kind of sort of cheaply made and then kind of given out, distributed for free. But these days, man, if you put a lot of work into it, you might as well sell it. And especially if you have an audience that's willing to buy your work, I think definitely sell it. It's kind of tricky though, especially when you have, like, a large social media platform, and this is coming straight from, like, personal experience. When you post a lot of pictures, it's kind of no point to sell that zine now, unless your audience really wants a physical copy of it. But the whole point of, like, selling something is because that product is exclusive, and when the buyer pays for it, you know, only, as far as they know, only they get to see that product, right? But if you post a lot of pictures, that would kind of defeat the purpose of selling something, unless you're just trying to make some money. So I guess my thought on selling is, yeah, you should, but also keep in mind that if you already posted a whole lot, maybe don't sell it and just make another one. Is this considered
something? Oh, you mean like the content of
the zine? Yeah, the content of the zine. I want to clarify. Yeah, as in you post the content of the zine on social media. And pricing-wise, this one is tough because it depends on your intention. If you're trying to break even with the cost and your main purpose is just to share and, like, spread your work to, you know, different people all over, like, spread all over the world perhaps, then price it low, because, like I said, a zine is, again, the spirit of zine making is, like, making it cheap, making it accessible and affordable. To me, zine should always be kind of cheap, on the cheaper end. So enough, but still, you know, enough for you to break even. Don't make a loss on, like, zine making, because it's not worth it. Or just price it whatever. Like, again, spirit of zine making and zine selling is just price it whatever. and just put it out there and see what happens, you know. That's the other approach as well. But yeah, that's kind of my thought. Kind of, you know, sort of pointless thought, but you know, it's just like, dude, I mean, honestly, Koi, like, if you want to sell something, you want to make it, you want to print and sell it, just do it. I mean, pricing is not, there's no methodical way. Again, like, there's things that I could tell you to do when I, if I know, like, your market, you know, your audience, but then again, it's up to you.
Pricing? I mean, I don't know. What is, like, the thing is, like, what is, you know, your own valuation on things of your work, you know?
Yeah.
Of your zine. How do you value it and sell it accordingly? But I'm just going to, but, like, from my perspective, zine, like you said, it's always been cheap, you know. It's just a quick excerpt of what your, you know, that whatever you wanted to showcase, right? It's not something heavy. I don't know, it can be, who knows. That's just up to the subject, I guess. But I mean, zine wise as a format, usually it's pretty affordable for people to take a glimpse of your work. I'm not telling you to sell your zine cheap.
Yeah.
But you know, take your own valuation on things. Break even. Ideally,
at least break even.
I think, I don't know. For me personally, I would just want to get my work out. Really, I don't really don't care about too much about making money.
Yeah.
I'll make money other ways.
Yeah. Usually, I think at the end of the day, if you're a photographer, like, that should be the thing that makes you the happiest, is that your work is in someone else's hand physically. So yeah, I guess just think about that. Get it out there.
Yeah, just get it out.
Mm-hmm.
It's already hard enough to, like, sit there and put all your emotion together and to even put it a cohesive project together. So I don't know, man. That is like the last kick in the door. You might as well just stomp on it and move through. Mm-hmm. Don't think too much about it. The other side of me, like, you can game this whole thing. But
how are you?
I'm not going to get into that.
Oh, okay. that's fine. But just going to leave us hanging like that?
No, that's just like a brain fart thing.
Oh, but, okay.
Yeah.
Well, if it's brain farting time, let's get to the last question. And I think that'll be it for this episode. It's not much of a question for us. It's just Koi again checking up on us. He asked me on my personal account, how are you doing? Well, how are you doing, so right now it's 3:30.
I mean, kind of sleepy.
Yeah.
3:30
in the morning, by the way. Yeah.
Feels nice to see you.
Yeah.
But aside from that, I feel kind of terrible, to be honest.
Damn, when you see me.
No. Oh, like, okay. Seeing you is probably like one of the highlights.
Oh yeah, dude.
But to be honest, you know, the country is not. It's in a weird place. Yes. The world's in a weird place. It's a pandemic.
Yeah.
And then, photography aside, like, personally, when I'm at home, I'm a very anxious person. Like, I have a lot of anxiety.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of paranoia. And so, I don't really have a good way to, I guess, de-stress myself.
Yeah.
Or, yeah, so, I don't know. It's kind of taken a toll on my mental health and my physical health as well. And so, I'm sorry for such a downturn, but shit is terrible, man.
I was thinking about doing like an episode on just like talking about mental health, like not because we're experts or anything, but just because both of us are sort of in the same situation. Just kind of talking to ourselves and also just, you know, talking to the audience about how we've been feeling. But then I decided against it because I'm like, No, I don't know, because I really don't know. I've never, okay, here's the thing about, like, I don't know how to talk about my mental health, because sometimes I be feeling things. Sometimes I just go blank, and I don't really know, like, if I'm supposed to, you know, what this is all about. But I do get what you're saying, you know, like, being paranoid, and also just thinking about, like, different, like, possibilities, and you get anxious about the possibilities, like, the all the what ifs right now, right? The pandemic is one thing, you know, like, what if, like, I get it, what if my family gets it, like, that's very stressful. And then politics, and like, you know, government wise there's a whole bunch of shit going on. You know, the election date is rolling up, and there's, we talked about this, like, how likely it is that we're gonna wake up from this nightmare, right? And at this point, I don't know, maybe kind of not likely. I don't know. I just get this weird feeling that Trump's going to hold office for another 4 years. But yeah, so there's, yeah, it's definitely a lot of anxiety. But, you know, it's a trial, right? Yeah. For all of us. I think this is definitely the thing that we're going to be talking about, you know, when we're old, you know, like.
Yeah, it is definitely a reminisce weird back. Time.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like, I don't know. I don't want to. I am doing certain things, like, I'm running a lot.
Yeah.
Motherfucker is juicing right now. not steroid, but. Oh, like,
okay.
But yeah, like, I don't know. Just to, like, change things stuff. I, like, you know, change my diet, you know, taking a lot more, I don't know. Different kind of vitamins help.
Yeah,
just,
I heard vitamin D helps, by the way. Yeah, so
very topical, surface level type of help, right? Because I mean, can't go to, and what can I do, you know, like, this anxiety, this anxiousness, like I said earlier, you know, it puts me into this weird box.
Yeah,
I feel claustrophobic. At the same time, I feel disassociative. I'm like, fucking don't want to do shit, you know. I don't want to disassociate from everything. I don't want, it's just not unhealthy, dude. It's a weird time. I'm not great at coping a lot of things, you know.
I see.
Yeah, and so the most I can do is just I run, try to do certain things, try to keep the wheel from falling apart.
Damn, dude. Yeah. Fishing helps also. My outlet is causing pain to other animals. That sounds, I mean, you catch a butterfly and I catch fish, you
that
know.
Is, that is strange.
Yeah. Please don't take that word for word. I just realized what I just said. But no. Anyway, but it's, you know, it's like, finding, I think, yeah, having an outlet. And we are, Beautiful has already talked about having outlets before, with, like, Yung and Ling. And for me right now, it's just like filling my day up with other things that I can do that I sort of help me solve certain problems, you know. Like, oh, if it's fishing, then I have to get, and then it's like when I go back to reality, it's like, okay, I kind of get it, you know. If I can do these things, I can overcome it. So be more methodical. So that's how I'm doing. Overall, pretty okay, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah. So anyway, that was the last question from audience.
Why did I end that on such a sad note?
Well, I don't... No, it's okay. I think it opens up this conversation.
Yeah.
I mean, what can we do, right?
I'll be honest. You know, like, it's okay. You know, I'm opening myself up and I'm telling you how I'm feeling, but... You don't have to, you ain't got to check in on us. Yeah. Like, we okay.
Oh, no, no. But no, yeah, but do check in on us, though. What do you mean? Like, what are you saying? I want people to talk to me. Please talk to us. Yeah. Make sure we're okay. No, I mean, we're okay. Yeah. It's just, again, these are the things you're going to be feeling. I mean, if you're in you know, this sort of situation. And it's fine, you know. It's something, normalize that shit, man. Come on.
Yo, I... You know what I do to, like, when I feel anxious? I play fucking Stardew Valley, dude. Like,
oh, you still?
Oh my god.
Okay, so I found something new.
Oh, for real?
I've been playing this game called Subnautica.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So I want to talk to you about this later, but like, it's so good. So good. I spent like 6 hours playing it at one point. Yeah, no, dude, first time in like years. So I stopped playing games altogether after high school.
Yeah.
And that was the first time that I've actually like sat here, like right here, and just played for 6 hours.
Damn. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
But
you gotta show me that.
Yeah.
But yeah, dude, like Stardew Valley and JPEG Mafia, it gets me through like...
Oh, man. I mean, you know, it makes sense. Yeah. Perfect combo right there.
Yeah. Like, I get like super angry music. You know, like,
yeah. And then playing like the mildest game
when I'm like, like farming and raising my chicken. Oh, my God. That's just like me in a constant state of just madness and like, I don't know, angers. And then at the same time, trying to keep myself at peace.
Yeah, in times of crises, we tend to combine very, like, we have, like, odd combinations of things. We're just trying to grab onto whatever we can, right?
Yeah.
Whatever that's nearby, whatever that's, like, the most comforting.
Yeah, yeah. Mm, well, that's all I want to share today.
Yeah. We're,
I'm sleepy.
Yeah, we're, kind of just both looking at the clock like, oh shit, okay, let's cut it. But no, just kidding. It's been cool. It's been fun. Don't have to go through another quarantine, that way we can keep up the weekly podcast.
Yeah, but
if needs be, we might not be on schedule because things are the way they are right now. So I hope you guys, once again, hope you guys understand. Oh, and before we go, just want to say this again, and I'm gonna start saying this in every episode. So if you like what we're doing, if you like Beautiful Noise, or you just like the four of us, or you like one of the four of us, we have a Patreon, and on there we're gonna have for now my bread recipe. Probably find time to post that sometime this week. So if you subscribe to Patreon, I believe it's like $7. I don't even know our pricing, but go on there and, you know, figure it out. We have everything written out.
Yeah.
But at a certain tier, you get to see all the posts.
I'm printing photos for myself and three of Lean's photo.
Yeah.
And those will be distributed to whoever subscribed to one of the tier. I forgot.
So we'll figure it out which tier will get what once again, because when we set up the page, it was still pretty early on. We had really no little idea of what we're going to be doing. But I think now it's going to be more updated, so I'm going to find time to do that. But yeah, so Patreon, it's always there. Please support us if you like. You know,
send us questions.
Send us questions, you know, we're answering. Feedback. And listen to and watch everything that we do. You know, we really appreciate it. And thank you so much for all of your support so far. We're going to push through this whole COVID thing and try to make more content, more podcasts, more videos, just because we all love doing this. Right. So, all right. Well, I think that's the end of this episode. And Tongue and I will go to sleep separately. But yeah, so stay tuned for the next episode.
I love you guys.
Bye-bye. All right, bye-bye. Special thanks to Lucas Fowler, Hui Vu, Koyani Katsi. You got to show me how to pronounce your Instagram account, man. And Hoi Dang, for sending in their lovely questions this week, as well as others that we'll get to in the next episode. So stay tuned for that. All right, thanks again for listening to episode 9 of Beautiful Noise. We'll see you again next time.